know what that means.
We do.
Congressman Maverick is joining us. Adam Kinzinger. He is he's 16th congressional district in the state of Illinois. And that's exactly what you get when you call a congressman. You go, what up?
That's right.
What's up?
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I saw him semi-naked over the weekend. That's all I'm going to say. All right, listen. He was, you know, let's take his shirt off. It was hot outside. It was hot. We were out at an event. And, he, you know, the guy, and as I said to him at the time, if I could do that, I'd do that too. All right.
Hey, when you're in a convertible, you know, 1970 Cadillac, you gotta.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
No more details, though. It's all good. We're good.
Mm-hmm. I have a few follow-up questions.
Yeah. No. That's all right.
We'll save them for later.
We were at an event, and there was an antique car there, and they'd let us take it for a ride on this sort of long unpaved stretch of area, and it was to see what we could do with it. You know, and on private property.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you were racing airplanes, I heard.
I don't know what was going on. All right. Let's talk about what's going on. Speaking of airplanes and racing airplanes, now we have got with the Russians. We have had a couple of situations over the last number of months. Now, in terms of aviation, the Russians, we encounter the Russians often around the Arctic Circle, right? In terms of our air forces and their air force can often come into contact with each other as they're doing, you know, that age-old nuclear patrol that they do.
Yeah.
They've got nuclear bombers up there. We've got nuclear bombers up there. We've got fighters. They've got fighters. And we've been doing this dance for 50 years up around the Arctic Circle, right? So now, in more stressed times between the two nations, sometimes you get a pilot that every once in a while goes, you know, I'm going to show you a thing or two. And you're imagining their commanding officer told them to do it, where they do, you know, an unsafe flyby or a situation. Now, we also had that just happen in the sea just recently with naval operations. What do you think is going on there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a couple things. Number one, I mean, you imagine they have, you know, 20-year-old pilots that are going to go out and have fun. And, you know, the difference between Russian pilots and American pilots, though, is theirs aren't very good. And, I mean, they don't get to fly a lot. You know, they don't let them go up and train a ton because they just don't have money. You know, Russia, I think it bears keeping in mind, they have a GDP like roughly in between, I think, Italy and France. It's like two trillions. They don't have a lot of money. It's a declining economy. So they don't fly these guys. And that's the danger in all this is, you know, you have somebody that goes up, decides to hot shot. They're doing a little show of force, and they end up clipping the wing of one of our planes or anything like that. And you could see how this quickly could escalate to an international incident. And so, you know, while, I mean, this is kind of old hat, you know, it's been going on. The increasingly aggressive posture of Russia is concerning, and especially given the fact that these, you know, guys they have flying are not really good pilots. So it's something to be concerned about.
So what message are they sending, though, and how much of this is accidental and due to pilot error, and how much of it is message sending? Like, what are they?
Well, you know, the actual intercept is usually trying to send a message. And, you know, the message is we're here, we're not going away. I don't know, you know, how much we get of that message because the bottom line is, you know, we know that they're not very good. And we also know we don't want to fight Russia. So it's just kind of, you know, they're showing that they're still here, they're still around, they're being aggressive, and it really has the potential of being dangerous. So you look at that, you look at what they're doing in the they do the same kind of thing in the Baltic and everywhere, and I think, you know, it's they need to be careful to not escalate that. And it says a lot, too, for our pilots and our military, you know, to show the level of discipline they do in that process.
Right. But it's still very dangerous. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, I mean, obviously, there have got to be some sort of repercussions for what they did during the election in 2016. They're undoubtedly going to attempt that again in 2020. Yep. You know, they kind of want to be a, you know, a thorn in our side, right? Isn't that a little bit of what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, this is what concerns me, I think, the most about it is Russia is now a partisan issue. And, you know, some people on my side of the aisle say, you know, that Russia is not an issue to worry about at all. Some on the other side of the aisle, you know, say things like Russia got President Trump elected. So regardless of your view on that, the point is, that they are trying to undermine our faith in democracy. And if you undermine or you turn populations against each other, which is exactly what's happened, That's the only way that an authoritarian government can beat a democratic government, to take our biggest strength but turn it into a weakness. The weakness is, you know, obviously people have a right to their opinion and they're going to disagree. And the weakness is when that elevates to a point where we can't even talk about things like Russia interfered in our election, or how do we push back against Russia, China, and other places? Because, you know, the other party becomes the bigger enemy than the actual enemy.
Well, I think that's where leadership comes in. And without putting too fine of a point on it, there could be some leadership that says, hey, the most important thing is that we're all Americans. And whether you liked the outcome of the 2016 presidential election or not, or you like the outcome of the 2018 midterms or not, the reality is that we have to band together. We got to make sure that the Russians aren't interfering, and we can't weaponize each other. We cannot make enemies out of each other. And that leadership has to come from the top, and that is lacking in Washington. You're not seeing that. You're not seeing that out of, clearly out of the White House, right, because that's part of the act. But even in Congress, you see a lot of guys on your side of the aisle, congressmen, who are sitting on their hands during this, where they would, you know, that in other circumstances would not be sitting on their hands. And then you see Democrats making hay out of it for political gain. And it just, no one is stepping up and being an adult and saying, hey, the real existential threat is Russia, and for these reasons, and we have to look out for that, and that's and move beyond, because there is an election in 2020. We do not want them interfering, and we do want to believe in, you know, the veracity of our system, not only the count of the votes, but also that we're getting proper information.
And you're 100% right on that. I mean, there's we can all debate over what percent of blame goes to where. I agree there needs to be different tone from the top on this too. But the fact is, we're all in this, and we all have a bit of a responsibility to bear. And even people, when you're on Facebook, for instance, and you only look at the stories that comport to your worldview, and things like the Russia situation, where were they effective? They created stories, RT, Russia Today, you know, would create these fake stories, and they'd get picked up all over the internet, and now you'd see it as truth. And the point, you know, I say to my friends on both sides of the aisle is, you know, they could be attacking Democrats today. They're going to attack Republicans tomorrow and vice versa. They don't care who wins. What they care about is chaos. And this is where we have to be grown-ups. And we can argue impeachment issues. We can argue, you know, all that kind of stuff. But this is existential, to the point that, you know, a country that is outmatched by the United States can use a low cost of entry on something like this and come in and really wreak havoc.
What's really going on in Mexico, do we think? In terms of what do you, as a congressman, what do you know that they have agreed to? What do you think is going to be effective? Obviously, you know, when you're not doing your congressing, you're doing your air forcing, and you've flown the border as an intelligence operative for the Air Force. You said when you came back from your last deployment that it was that you believe it's a crisis on the northern border. They clearly have a crisis on the southern border. What can we expect from this?
Yeah, so I really actually take the president's side a lot on this, because I think, you know, we'll see if Mexico implements the deal. I mean, one of the biggest things is that would have an effect on this is saying that if you declare asylum, you have to actually stay in Mexico for your court date. And because, as you know, the system's being overwhelmed. They can't get people through enough. And a lot of times what we do is release them into the United States because, as you know, our detention facilities are to max capacity. And then, you know, only a certain percent of them show up to their court date. And when they do, only, I think it's something around 20% actually qualify for asylum. It's a real crisis. And, you know, the Democrats, it's to their detriment to ignore this and to make this political. Look, Trump's made it political, too. I'm not going to pretend like everybody's innocent in this. But this is a real crisis. And what you have is, you build 10,000 beds for kids, for instance, and then 11,000 show up. You build 11,000, 13,000 show up. And then when you have these unaccompanied minors, you have three options. Send them back to their home country of origin, which is tough to do, or you release them without any parental guidance, or you hold them. And that's the problem, is everybody has weaponized this issue, and there's a massive, serious crisis on the border, and we're sitting here twiddling our thumbs because we just care about who gets the political wins and losses, and that's got to end. That's got to stop now.
So the president was touting that Mexico will now help stem the flow of people immigrating. They'll stop them in their country, presumably. They're putting more border security up, and then they avoid the tariffs, is what the president is saying, this 5% tariff on all Mexican goods. He said it was a huge win. Is this part of a plan that's going to work, Congressman?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, if it's implemented, I think, you know, the idea, obviously, Mexico is going to have a tough time controlling their border as well. We have a tough time controlling our own border. But the difference is, too, now as these caravans, you know, kind of make their way through Mexico, there's different enforcement mechanisms that can be done that way. Mexico has a responsibility. I mean, literally, you know, people would be understandably irate if everybody that came to the southern border of our country, we just said, hey, hold on, let's just push you right up here to Canada. And that's, in essence, what's happening with Mexico. They have a huge problem with the cartels. The cartels are funded by two things, drugs and human trafficking. And they're making a ton of money on this because all these people are passing through cartel territories. And man, the cartel, I'll tell you, is as or more evil than ISIS. And that's something that doesn't get enough attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's clearly complicated. But I guess the question is, this kabuki theater that we've been watching between the Mexican government and the Trump administration in terms of we're going to do this, we're going to give you, you know, tariffs, 5%, then 10%, then 15%, all that. It seemed almost, you know, too simple.
Yeah.
And then for the Mexican government to stop and say, all right, no, we got it fixed. All right, we're gonna seal the southern border. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do that. Don't worry about it. We got you. And then he goes, okay, no problem. All right, no tariffs. It seems like that could fall apart unless the whole thing was just done not to solve the problem, but as you point out, Congressman, just to make political points, and that could be a problem.
I would agree with you, but I don't agree with the premise. I think the bottom line is there is a real massive crisis, and I think the president, I didn't like the fact that he used tariffs as a threat, but I think it was effective in actually kind of getting Mexico to say, okay, we're taking this seriously, and the proof will be in the pudding. But I think we have to admit and get past the politics. This is a serious crisis, and if you're worried about this idea of kids, you know, in so-called cages, which most of those pictures actually came out of the Obama administration, the reality is, well, what are you going to do with an unaccompanied kid then? Are you going to release them in Dallas without a parent? Because right now our social service systems are overwhelmed, you know, or are you going to send them back home, which is actually virtually impossible to do because you don't know where they came from? That's the difficulty we're facing, and something's got to be done. And it's got the message, and the Obama administration did this in the past, the message has got to go to Central America. If you make this journey, it is really dangerous. Don't make it.
Okay, so what do we do to stabilize those countries? Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras. Those are the three countries that people are coming out from.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, that's a longer-term game, but, I mean, it's a corruption issue. There's corruption all over the place. It's an economic issue. It's having hope and opportunity. And it's also messaging, like, yeah, I mean, we have compassion for everybody that's in a position, in a place that they want to live in a better country. We're lucky to live here in the United States, but we can't take everybody from Central America. And the reality is when a third of women are assaulted on that journey, that's a message the people in those countries need to know. Or if kids are abused, that's a message they need to know. And I think, you know, all of that from giving opportunity and also being clear about this journey is all part of this broader, grander solution.
Right, but if they're being assaulted in their home, too, and they're trying to flee that.
Yeah, they are, but there's instability in those countries, absolutely. But the assaults that are occurring on the journey would actually disgust you if you knew all the details. And the fact that, you know, you're really playing that there's a third of a chance it's going to happen to you if you're female or a child is absolutely disgusting.
I'm looking at the border statistics. They talk about apprehensions. For the month of May, 144,000 people apprehended at the southern border with Mexico. And I mean, that's a remarkable number. Year to year, that's a threefold increase, 51,000 in May of last year. It obviously is a strain on resources. And what do you do? How do you stem this tide? Is Mexico helping us alone going to stop that? Going to help with it?
It's going to help. It's going to be the message getting out. It's going to be us changing our asylum laws, frankly. I think Canada actually just recently did that as well. They didn't get a lot of attention for it. It's making that clear because, I mean, think about that. In 1 month, that's just the ones that were detained, not the ones that crossed illegally. That's as many people as participated in the 2003 Gulf War on the American side. You think about that, or as many people as participated in D-Day. That's just 1 month. That's a lot of human beings, and our resources cannot hold that.
No, that's no question.
Congressman, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there goes Congressman Adam Kinzinger. Official Congressman of the Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis.
We had somebody weighing in from the 217 who seemed to know something about your car races over the weekend, but I guess we're keeping that secret.
Huh?
They seem to know about the car
races. What do you
mean
they seem to know about the car races?
They seem to have information about said
about
car races.
What do they know? I don't know anything about that. I don't know what they're talking about. They're liars. That's fake news. Fake news.
1970 Cadillac won two of the three races with the Stearman biplane.
Jen DeSalvo's got the... What do you got in the news?
I got real news.